Thank you, Jesus. Are you ready for the word tonight? Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples, this is speaking about Jesus, called them together and gave them power and authority. Say power.
Power.
Say authority.
Authority.
He gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So they were sent on assignment with power and authority to cast out devils and heal the sick, to preach the kingdom, right? Tonight we're going to talk about the subject of authority, how much authority we have as believers. And because there's some confusion about the authority that we have to some level. And here we see that Jesus gave the disciples authority to cast out devils. Now again, this is power and authority. The word authority there is the word exousia or exousia, whichever way you want to pronounce it, which means jurisdictional authority, which means you're made a regent or a sheriff over an area. You have authority to tell people what to do from a legal standpoint. So when we're given authority over devils, we have a right to cast them out, right? We have a right to bind them. We have a right to shut down their operation. The word power there is the word dunamis or dunamis, again, whichever way you want to pronounce it, I've heard it both ways, which means enforcement power. And that's the power that backs up your exousia. We usually use the example that for a law officer, the badge is his exousia. See, I'm going to use both pronunciations. But the gun is his dunamis. It's the power to back up, stop. Now, they used to say in the movie, stop or I'll shoot. They don't do that anymore, right? You can't do that anymore. But if you watch the old movies, they were shooting people all the time that wouldn't stop when they said stop. And so things have shifted. So we have been given both authority and power to back up that authority. Right? And as believers, we've been given the power over everything. Amen. Go on over to Luke chapter 10. Jesus says, go to verse 19. Well, let's go to verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. So he gave them authority, and guess what? They cast them out. It worked. They saw success. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power, exousia, to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the dunamis of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. It says here that God's given us exousia, jurisdictional authority, over the highest levels of dunamis the enemy possesses. So there's no level of power the enemy has that can override our authority to cast them out or to shut down their operation. Do you see this? A lot of people, you know, understand that as Christians, so we set ourselves to take authority over spirits and to make changes in operation, you know, in what the devil's trying to do around us. But we're going to find out tonight that your authority that you have still only extends to the level of your faith. Did you follow me on that? All the gifts of God, all the power of God given to us, only function through faith. And if you don't believe you have authority over a spirit, or you question whether you have authority over a spirit, it will not listen to you. You've got to know you operate in that level of authority. And understand, faith doesn't come just because you read it once in the Word. Faith doesn't come just because you agree with what it says. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing what the Word of God declares. If you want to walk in authority over demonic powers, you need to build your faith in it. You'll have to take scriptures that deal with authority, such as Luke chapter 10, verse 19, and you'll have to speak them in and over your lives repeatedly. Amen. I have confessed this verse over my life for 25 years at least. I've got power to trample snakes and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. Why? Because I want that. So I've got a target that to build my faith for it. Go on over to the book of Acts. Chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. I'm sorry, wrong verse. No, that's it. Verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So Paul was exercising his right as a Christian to use his authority to cast out devils. There was so much anointing on him, even the claws he would pray over would cause devils to depart. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, they were exorcists. I don't want to take time to go into it tonight, but I don't believe man's ever lost his authority over the devil, even after the fall. Amen. We lost our ability to back up our authority to some level. Amen. Or lost even our faith connection in it. So these guys were exorcists. And they took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. So they're trying to use the name of Jesus. Second hand. Really third hand. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. So these guys have a lineage. I mean, they're sons of a priest. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Amen. Now understand, these Jews most likely were not born again. You follow me? They didn't have the covenant we have. Didn't have rights to the kingdom that we have. But we see here, if you don't know what you're doing and you try to use authority, it may not work as you thought it should work. And in this case, it worked against them. We want to be those that operate fully in our authority and see maximized results take place. Now, we know that the 70 had gone out and they'd been given authority and they cast out devils. They came back celebrating. Even the devils are subject to us in thy name, right? But go on over to Matthew chapter 17. And here's an event that takes place really not long before the crucifixion. Matthew chapter 17. And in the first part of the chapter, we have Jesus being transfigured, right? I mean, the glory of God comes on him. John and Peter witness this event. Or James and Peter. Peter, James, and John. All of them. I'll get it right in a minute. And when they come down, it says in verse 14, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, who have already cast out many devils, have celebrated the authority they had over the demonic powers. I'm throwing that in, right? I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Jesus was rebuking them for not having faith, that they couldn't even cast out this spirit. How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus, who just came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Hallelujah! The disciples tried and they couldn't do it, but Jesus did it. Verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, they did it apart, you know, why could not we cast him out? I would want to know, wouldn't you? I mean, if I'd been casting out devils, I'd been out and saw the miracles take place and spirits cast out, came back celebrating, and I hit one I couldn't cast out. I'd want to know what the problem was. Why couldn't I get free of this one right here? And Jesus gives an interesting answer. Verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, period. Because of your unbelief. Well, they must have had some level of faith in casting out devils because they had already done it. But they came to this spirit who wouldn't mind. So he says, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Now here, Jesus compares commanding a mountain to be removed with casting out a devil. Do you see this? And he says, it happens, it takes place by faith. Now hold that thought, we'll go come back to that in a minute. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Faith makes everything possible for us. Do you see that? Verse 21 though, how be it? This kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. I have heard preached for years. I've had people that practice it, that there are certain devils, if you want to cast them out, you've got to pray and fast. So if they're going to go, you know, cast out a spirit, they want to make sure they've been fasting before they do it. And I've met men, you know, if they thought they were going to deliver, you know, go minister and deliver, they would fast first, because Jesus said this kind cometh out not but by prayer and fasting. But he wasn't talking about the devil. Do you follow me? Or he was referring to another aspect of that effort to exorcise that devil. He was talking about this kind of unbelief is not resolved without prayer and fasting. Your fasting and prayer doesn't cause a devil to leave. Are y'all with me? You can fast till you weigh 12 pounds. Well, we'd sell for 120, right? You can fast till you don't weigh hardly anything. And no devil is concerned about how much you fasted. The only thing that disrupts demonic operations is faith. And what he was talking about, what Jesus was referring to, is this kind of unbelief that lets you cast out this type of spirit is not resolved without prayer and fasting. Do you see that? When you pray and fast, it does something to your faith. I mean, you get these voices of the flesh get shoved out of the way, your anointing climbs, you're hearing God clearly, and faith is energized. So what Jesus was trying to say, if you want to cast out devils like this, these lunatic devils, it's going to require that you move deeper into the Lord than you've ever done in the past, to build your faith where it's never been in the past. Is this okay with you? I mean, we don't see any sign here that Jesus had been fasting right before he cast out this devil. He'd been up on the mount, but we don't know that he'd fasted. Well, that was Jesus. Yes, but he operated as a man, right, with the nature of God, as we do. And so, we fast to move closer to God and to build our faith. But fasting of itself does not cause devils to depart. What I'm trying to get across is our authority over spirits only functions to the level of our faith in our authority over spirits. And if you've not spent time meditating on authority, then guess what? They may laugh at you when you tell them to go. They may continue stealing from you till you're stripped naked. You've got to believe you have that authority. And it takes time and effort to build that level of authority. You know, there are so many books out there. Kenneth Hagin wrote one called The Authority of the Believer. Well, if all it took was, you know, to find out you had the authority, he could do it in a paragraph. Quote one verse, find out you have authority. But he wrote a whole book to reinforce your understanding of that authority. As you read books on authority, you read scriptures on authority, it will build and reinforce your faith in who you are in Christ and the authority you have to make change around you. Do you see this? Go over to Mark chapter 11. So just because you have authority doesn't mean your faith's able to release all of that authority. Does anybody here believe that we've been healed by the stripes of Jesus? Is there anybody else in this place beside myself that hadn't had to fight some stuff for healing, even though we already have it? And we've come to realize our key to healing is faith in what Jesus did and provided for us. How many believe that God has given us promise of all wealth and provision? Is anybody beside me had situations where you couldn't buy what you felt you wanted to buy at the time, or had to cut some corners because, you know, you couldn't afford to get what you thought you needed at the moment? Well, how can that be if God gave us all this provision? Because our faith has not stepped into that level yet. And the same thing is true with our authority in every area of this kingdom. Do you see that? We're going to have made up more confession cards, and we're going to make one on authority to boost your faith in that. Because some of you have commanded stuff to leave and it hasn't left. Amen. You commanded change and it hadn't changed. And the key is always going to be faith. Over here in God's kingdom is infinite power, infinite provision, infinite supply. Over here is our areas of need. And we've discovered the only thing that can extract that power and supply and provision out of God's kingdom, the third heaven, into our need areas of need is faith. And faith is not accidental. Nor is it developed at any high levels merely through osmosis. Do you know what I mean by osmosis? Diffusion through a semipermeable membrane? I'm sorry, that was a scientific explanation. That's right, isn't it, Charles? Amen. He's not said yes. What I mean is, your faith's not going to be built very high just by coming to a church where they talk about faith. If you really want to build your faith, you've got to apply yourself to developing it. So that's why Jesus was saying. See, the disciples, they were used to hanging out with Jesus. They're going with him everywhere. They're in non-stop spiritual school. Right? And all this time they spent with him, when they try to cast out this one devil, it won't come out. Although they've been successful in the past. Do you see this? And Jesus said, even though they spent all the time with him, he said, there's homework required to operate in this high level of authority. See, what they were getting was primarily through osmosis. They're just hanging out with Jesus, listening to what he taught. But there was a place where they need to pray and fast themselves to connect with God at a level they could really function in the fullness of what he made available in his authority. Do you see this? Mark chapter 11. Now, we already read here in Matthew that Jesus, in this situation, compared it to commanding a mountain to be thrown in the sea, right? Or he says, yeah. Just commanding them out to remove. In Mark chapter 11, we know this passage. Verse 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, he just talked about that with regard to casting out that devil. Do you understand he paralleled this with casting out a devil? Whosoever shall say to this mountain, we could call it to this devil, to this demonic force, be thou removed or cast out, and be thou cast into the sea. The sea would represent the multitudes of people. And shall not doubt in his heart. Doubt is a faith blocker. If you want to command a mountain to be removed, you've got to get rid of doubt. You've got to deal with the doubt. And fasting and intense prayer work to remove doubt from your life. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Jesus makes it clear in a passage he just used in reference to casting out a devil. Same type reference. That if you want to see these mountains removed, you've got to believe and doubt not. So I'm here to tell you, if things haven't shifted like we want them to, if things haven't left like we want them to, doubt is the reason. The only reason. Amen. Now, there could be generational things. There could be inner vows made, outer vows made. But the truth is that demons have to obey faith. Amen. And it's vital we build our faith for these end times where God's taking us. Because we're going to be casting out devils left and right. And you know what? There's as many devils out there now as there were in Jesus' day. In fact, I believe there are more. Because Scripture says in the end times, Satan's going to be panicked and release more power from hell than they've ever been around before, to paraphrase. I believe we're seeing that right now. That's what's producing gross darkness on the earth right now. And God's looking for people that can rise up and take authority over some of this operating through different people. Amen? Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We operate by a whole other set of principles. A whole other set of laws that let us see supernatural victory. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but mighty through God of the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We are called to cast some things down. We're called to pull some things down. We're called to take authority over demonic operations. Amen. And bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience or to the obedience of Christ. You cannot function in spiritual authority until you first spend enough time in the Word, that Word reprograms your thinking, that you can bring every thought captive to the obedience of the Word. As long as you think, you may not be able to do something by faith. You'll be limited in what you can do by faith. Faith knows it has resolution. Let me give you an example. I've seen this happen repeatedly, so you can follow me on this. I've prayed for many people. I couldn't tell how many people I prayed to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they get filled. You follow me? And it's a common thing in here when people come up and they need it, they get filled. Rarely do we have somebody not get filled when they come up. But sometimes you go to pray for somebody and they don't get filled, and they will invariably say this: I just believe there's something in my life keeping me from being filled. Something in my past, maybe I haven't prayed enough, maybe I haven't, you know, been in the Word enough, but there's something in my life that's blocking me being filled right now. And I will say, I agree with you. You know what's blocking you from being filled right now? You believe there's something blocking you from being filled right now. Because the gifts of God are by faith. And if you think there's something blocking you, there is. It's your doubt that you can be filled right now. So we usually take people that were trying to get filled through some scriptures to show them it's a free gift. You can't earn it any more than you can earn salvation. All you got to do is receive it. To get them to the place that they don't think there's something they have to do to be properly positioned for it. I believe all you got to do is be born again and want it. And God does the rest. Well, the same thing's true with anything you're believing God for. If you are believing God for healing, but in your thinking there's an area that is not properly taken captive where there's a voice that says, well, you know, you haven't prayed enough to be healed. Or you can't quote enough healing scriptures to be healed. Or you've not stood long enough for the healing to manifest. Or it works for everybody else but not for you. Those all work as blockers to the healing power of God in your life. Because they're accessed by faith. I had something happen to me yesterday. I haven't had happen in years to my memory. I'm upstairs studying, and all of a sudden I started feeling sick. And it was such an unusual feeling, I thought, this feels like flu symptoms. And a voice said, yeah, you've been on the road, you've not had enough prayer and word, and you know, now you're gonna get the flu. You haven't had it, you know, in years and years, but now you're going to get the flu. And I started reflecting, well, I haven't had enough prayer and word, and things have been stretched. But then I thought, you know what? I'm a child of God. I'm in covenant with God. You stupid devil, get off me now in Jesus' name. I'm the healed. It can't stay on me. Flu has no place in my life. I'm as healed as I ever was. In Jesus' name, go. And it broke. And we're talking about 5 minutes of symptoms. But for 5 minutes, I felt like, oh, it was an attack. Seeing if it could get me to buy into it. And had I got an agreement with it, guess what? Things may be, you know, not as they are today. Doubt works to block the blessing from manifesting in your life. Do you see this? You're believing for bills to be paid, but something says, well, you know, God never pays the bills on time. He's always late. They'll probably have to shut it off first. And, you know, maybe after you stand for a couple weeks and people see you, everything's shut off in your house. And, you know, maybe then you'll see the stuff come through, because you've heard other people, they had their power turned off before God brought the answer. Well, guess what? For you, it'll probably happen like that. You got to believe that God's a right now God for you. There's nowhere in the scripture God says he'll be late with your payments, late with your blessing. He's an on-time God. But according to our faith, be it unto us. Now, I'm kind of creating a little bit of a catch-22 problem here, if you know what I'm speaking about. Because I'm telling you that if there's doubt, your faith may not work. So then you hear a message like this, and you start to doubt whether your faith's high enough. And then it doesn't work. Did you follow me on that? Well, maybe I don't believe enough for God to heal me. You got to cast that down. It says here that we take authority. We take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. You've got to just know that you have a covenant. And it's not something you earn. It's something you believe because you spend enough time meditating the covenant. And faith happens. And sometimes you do have to cast out doubt. Sometimes you got to tell it to get out of here. You follow me? But you know what causes doubt to flee? Speaking the promise of God. Just speak what the Word says. So I don't want to cause you a problem tonight where you're thinking, well, I guess my faith isn't high enough. I can't cast out a devil. No, work the Word until you know you have that authority. And keep practicing. Guess what? What I've discovered, usually your faith is higher than you think it is. I've seen a whole lot of manifestation that I was surprised at. Because God so wants to bless us, He just needs something to grab a hold of. Do you follow me? He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for belief. But we've got to be willing to not be lazy about building our faith. I mean, if there's anything we need to know in these end times, we can't be slothful about building faith. It's an opportunity God gave us and an assignment. I know Aaron's back there doing algebra homework. Well, he's probably not enjoying that homework. You having fun yet, Aaron? Remember, A plus B equals B plus A. Doing algebra homework. And I remember algebra. I don't ever remember enjoying the homework. But I'll tell you what it did. It let me build those mathematical principles in me to the point I could then work the problems later. Are you wondering where I'm going with this? Same thing is true about working the Word. You may not enjoy having to turn the TV off and work that confession card in your life, but you're going to love the results later. I love knowing I don't have to be sick. When the devil visits, I can say, get out of here. And I know he's going to go. But it didn't come through osmosis. It came through speaking those same verses I tell you to work. I've been working for years. I'd say there's probably hardly a verse on those cards back there I haven't worked into my life in the past. And continue to. Well, you're a pastor. You have all day to do that. No, I did that before I was ever a pastor. Learn to just take it with you and read it and your break, read it during your lunch hour. Get home, read the card. It doesn't take hours. And then once you read it, chew on it. Faith building is work. The good news, it's not hard. Some of you have some jobs I would consider hard. You know, Robert mowing grass in 90 degrees? That might be kind of hard. Casey, you know, lift the stuff late at night? I don't want to do that anymore. I don't know if ever wanted to do it. Leon on top of Ruse, whatever he's doing in the heat, that's hard work. You know, studying a verse of Scripture is not hard. It's just work. What makes us work is your soul wants to go to other things. And there are demonic forces that familiar spirits want to interrupt and say, you don't have time for this, or this isn't working well enough, or it's not worth your time. There's things you would rather do. Well, I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff I'd rather do. Now, I love reading the Word. I love sitting with God, reading the Word, and revelating. It's my favorite thing to do. Just get with God and revelate out of the Word. But working the Word, getting out the confession card and speaking it over yourself and thinking about it and making your mind ponder those verses over and over again, that's not really that fun. I compare it like hoeing a garden. Just getting the weeds out. Just taking that verse over again. Getting those weeds out of the garden. Getting out doubt and unbelief out. Working that word into your life. Hoeing. Oh, I hated hoeing. Did I mention hoeing in here recently? I was talking to my mom about it in Kansas, some of the Kansas family. You know, I've had the opportunity, I lived on farms off and on, been around farms all of my life. And my grandmother in Kansas always had huge gardens. Not garden, gardens. She never had less than three gardens. One out in front of the house, one to the side, one in the back, and then have field corn and everything else, you know, that she's pulling in. Huge gardens. And she's out there all the time, and I'd be out there, she'd say, hoe the garden, you know, we'd be out there hoeing the garden. And, you know, it really wasn't very hard in Kansas. And then in Tennessee, we bought this farm. I didn't tell you this story. We bought this farm in Tennessee. We planted a garden. I'd guess the garden's probably half an acre. It was a huge garden. Everything in it. I mean, rows of radishes, onions, tomatoes, you name it. And the weeds start to come up. And Mom said, go hoe the garden. Okay, no problem. Go hoe the garden. And I'd go out there and take that hoe, and you do like this. Now, in Kansas, you'd put your hoe in, you'd pull it along and hoe the weeds out. I went in Tennessee, southern Tennessee, I went whack, and the hoe bounced. And I got a revelation. There's a difference between Tennessee red clay and Kansas black dirt. And that Tennessee red clay, when it gets rained on, and the sun comes out and bakes it, it turns into ceramic. Did you ever try to scratch ceramic? It's like, I can remember that hoe, and the hoe bounced. Has anybody done this and know what I'm speaking about? And I can remember every, this is still so vivid in my mind, even from, you know, 45 years ago. I remember getting on the hoe and trying to find ways to hoe through that soil. I would straddle the hoe. And I would straddle the hoe and pull like this, flex the handle, and walk, trying to get with the hoe angled, trying to get the corner of the hoe to bite in and make a furrow of some sort. And all you do is scratch the ground. It was impossible. I finally remember letting the weeds grow up so big, I just mowed between the rows with a mower. That's how bad it got. Where was I even going with that whole story? Hoeing is hard work. Amen. You have to apply yourself. Working the word is demanding work, but it's not hard. I have never gone through my confession list and I'm reading through the verses and speaking them over in my life and meditating them going, my goodness, I'm pouring sweat off of this. I need a sweatband. Give me some salt tablets. I just don't know how much more of this I can take. I'm meditating these scriptures. Unless, see, here's one thing I did do. For a long time, I would take on confession lists. I laminated mine. I would take it to the gym, put it on the treadmill or on the elliptical, and confess those verses while on the elliptical. In other words, I was taking word with me everywhere, trying to get that down in me. Faith does not happen accidentally, including our faith to take authority over the demonic. You've got to believe. Amen? And believing requires time, time in the Word. Thank you, Jesus. First John chapter 4. First John chapter 4. Verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Here it says we've already overcome. It says that what's in us is greater than that which is in the world. Both our righteous nature and the Holy Spirit in us are greater than anything that the devil has to operate with. But you've got to believe it. I want to take a little bit of time and talk about some ways I know when people don't believe that. But it may step on some toes. Is this okay tonight? When somebody comes up on a prayer line or calls me on the phone and says, Pastor, the devil just won't quit bothering me. He won't leave me alone. I know they don't believe their authority. I keep having these bad dreams. These bad dreams are haunting me. And I don't know what to do about it. And you know, you don't yet have enough faith in your authority. The devil just keeps attacking me. He's attacking me in the morning, attacking me at night. He's attacking my household. He's attacking everything I have. I just don't know how much more of this I can take. The attacks, the attacks, the attacks. You don't yet fully believe you can cast out spirits from your life. I said this might step on toes, right? Well, I've told them to go and they didn't go. What do you think would cause that? Doubt. Because every verse of Scripture points to, if we tell them to go, they have to go. The only thing that can block that is not having spent enough time building our faith in your authority through prayer and fasting. You follow me? So we can take authority of all demonic operation. So as a minister, I have had to become trained to recognize where people's faith is based on their conversations. And it's amazing once you become familiar with this, how can I say, this assignment, how easy it becomes. I can spot people's faith in their healing, usually within just a few sentences, or lack of faith. Or faith in their in their seed producing for them. People that don't have faith for healing, that maybe go to the healing church, but they speak sickness all the time. They claim it. I have this and I have that, and I've been fighting this. Are you following me? People that don't really have never built faith in God's provision talk about lack all the time. Well, I'm always broke. I'm always poor. I never have enough money. You know, there's always just a shortage. Well, that is speech that's birthed out of not having spent enough time building your faith in what God said. Otherwise, you would say, I'm rich and I live in abundance. God supplies all my need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You'd speak the word. In fact, one way to know when somebody is not in faith is when they speak the problem much more than they speak God's solution. And you can monitor yourself what's coming out of your mouth. And if what's coming out of your mouth is not the promise, then guess what? You're not taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, which means to the word. This isn't always fun in here, is it? Don't you wish we could just come in and eat peace and, you know, push your button and everything's resolved. We don't do any work. Watch a movie. We could just watch Andy Griffith and teach on, you know, being a happy family and everything would go away. But that's not the way God designed it. He was looking for laborers. Where's that? Is that Luke chapter 11? Let me see if I can find that real quick. Luke 11 jumped in my head. No, it's the passage where the landowner called people to go work in his field. Maybe somebody can find that. Matthew 22. There we go. Verse 1, Matthew chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers unto his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Now here's the first point I want to make out of that. Is God, in all these examples we see, is always looking for laborers. Parable of the talents. They went and traded. Parable of the pounds. The wise farmer. We always see God using parables that deal with labor. Some type of effort. We never find the parable of the prosperous, lazy person. Do you follow me? God's looking for people to work this thing. But understand, our labor is that God's assigned us to do regarding the things of the kingdom is not with the sweat of our brow. It's by working the word into our thinking, by letting ourselves be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ as the word changes how we respond to every situation. And that's our labor. Verse 3, we'll read through here real quick. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Now see, this group, the third hour, didn't go to the field. The landowner said, Whatever is right, in other words, whatever is fair, I'll pay it to you. And they went their way. The ones that are early in the morning, they made an agreement for a penny a day. They said, we want a penny a day. So he said, that's okay, I'll do that. Later he goes out and he calls men and he says, I'll just give you what's fair. And they went their way because they did not trust the landowner to pay them appropriately. Now there's a lesson in that. So many people will not involve themselves in a faith church or faith endeavors because they really don't believe God's going to reward them appropriately according to their efforts. well, you know, I can't pray an hour a day in tongues, or I can't pray all night in tongues. My goodness, I don't want time for that, and that'd just be a waste of time for me. You don't understand spiritual operations. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow in the kingdom is gonna, you're gonna reap in hundredfolds. There is no way you will pray all night and God not bless you out of it. I'm telling you. But we listen to these unredeemed minds. I'm not saying everybody has to come to all night prayer. I'm just saying we listen to arguments of the enemy where he says it's not worth your time. And I by no means expect people to all be here at all night prayer. My goodness, how's Grace going to do that with 12 kids at the house? Are you up to 12 yet? Right? People work. They have jobs to go to. They've got to understand that. But we can't just buy into, well, it's not worth my time. We don't understand the landowner said he gave us what was right. And there's no way you're going to outwork his ability to bless. Do you see this? Did anybody see it? Can I get an amen? Amen. Verse 5, again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. He went out two more times and the people wouldn't go to the field because they didn't trust him. Well, I don't believe we've got to do all that praying in tongues. I don't believe we have to confess scriptures. I don't believe we have to meditate the word. You just don't believe it's going to be worth your effort. So you're trying to find an easy route. I'm talking to those that have that mindset out there. You follow me? I just know that God loves me and I'm his child and everything's going to be fine. You're going to be hungry. You're going to end up in a mess. Amen. Because he that won't work, neither will he eat. Verse 6, and about the 11th hour. Now, how many know it's a 12-hour day they're working? About the 11th hour, he went out and found others. And we fuss about an 8-hour day, right? And they're in the field for 12 hours. Welcome to farm life. That's a short day for a farmer. We never finished by dark on the farm. We found lights to do other stuff. Farming was a tough job. But we did get fresh tomatoes. Verse 6, and about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle. They're not doing anything. And he saith unto them, why stand ye here all day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. In other words, nobody's made us an offer worthwhile about what to do with our time. That's the state of much of the church. They're sitting there idle because they've not yet heard the right offer. We have found that there's an offer on the table, right? Whatever we put our hand to will prosper. Because no man has hired us, he saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So, and they went. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Now, how much had the others agreed to work for? A penny for 12 hours. They got a penny for 1 hour. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way, and I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is I evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last, for many be called, but few chosen. Now, there's a whole teaching in this that I wish we had time to do right now, but we're just going to touch on something. God's raising up an end time, last hour church. They're learning how to step into their righteousness. Remember, he said, I will give you what is right. They're stepping into a revelation of their righteousness, that they don't have to work for favor from God. They just show up and do what they're asked to do. And they receive as much as those that have worked all of their life by the sweat of their brow, trying to earn something. God's raising up an end-time church that's going to step in great abundance just by knowing who they are in Christ and trusting the landowner, the Lord Jesus Christ, to reward us. I trust God. If I will follow Him and apply myself spiritually and build my spiritual momentum, I will be rewarded above and beyond anything I did to position myself for it. Do you follow me? We started out tonight looking at Job. And it says, God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends and gave him double of everything he had lost. God's looking for a people that will just trust God to be the blesser, do it God's way, and watch God come through. But we've got to work it. Again, let me close with this. Don't think that if you have a speck of doubt, you can't believe God for anything. Don't think if a thought hits you that, oh, you're not worthy of that, or you're not strong enough or not knowledgeable enough. That's the enemy. Faith down here. Step out and launch what you feel unction down here to do. Amen. Because that's being initiated by faith. And tell those voices to shut up. And watch what God does. It'll be above and beyond what you thought would happen. Says He does exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. Don't be afraid. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the pizza. Thank You for family. Thank You for a great time tonight. I ask You to seal the word in us. Cause us to be laborers of the word, not hearers only. What we know as we do so, we build our house on the rock. And as the floods come, our houses will stand. We thank You. We give You praise. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Hug some neck. Show the love of God. Get you another piece of pizza.